What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
And in Board Game Man with this week's Top 5 Express Board Games Edition. This is each episode I'm going to give you a topic for a list and then give you my top 5 games for that topic. Well, normally it's games. Today I'm going to do a little bit of kind of what I am pondering. So it's been a little while. I've been traveling a little bit, so I haven't been able to get a lot of top 5s. And also kind of part of my, maybe my honorable mention will be on this as well. So I wanted to do the top 5 things I've been pondering about kind of the board game industry as a whole. Every now and then I'll do this kind of as part of my what I'm looking forward to for the year in my top 5. And sometimes even mention this on Munchkin Minute. So kind of the honorable mention for this one is, what are going to be my next top 5? So of course I need a little bit of help out there as always. So I've been doing this probably about 5 or 6 years, and I may revisit some of those lists. I kind of did that a little bit with kind of the, what are the last, you know, newer games of X genre or Y genre, you know, of the last 5 years. So I may do some of that too, but is there anything you've been pondering or wondering about, or maybe something that you didn't realize I did, and maybe I'll revisit it or see what's changed in that kind of genre. So that's kind of one of those kind of honorable mention of what I'm pondering of what my next top 5 are. But I do have a few more that I've got to record that I'll be recording after this. They'll have a few more that will be coming as well. So number 5 here, are cons back or are they forever changed? I guess they probably are changed forever, but are big cons back? Are people going to return to large cons, or are smaller cons and what we'll call kind of friend cons the way of the future? A lot more people are having these little cabin cons where there's like 10 people getting together, or even kind of, you know, going off to local cons, which is kind of what I'm saying, the smaller cons. We have that board game thing that's local here that people like to go to. And it's usually like 100 people or so, not quite your Origins, Gen Con, or Essen. But those things are kind of a little bit more in vogue. So as people are kind of still a little bit more wary, which is fine, you know, if people are still not wanting to go to huge, large crowds, or maybe even will these larger cons kind of make it so that everything is a little bit smaller going forward. So what do you think? You know, a lot of these, I guess all these things that I'm pondering, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are as well on the Discord channel for Major Spoilers or even on Twitter. But again, that's number 5. Are cons back, or are they going to be forever changed? I constantly think that we're kind of looking to be, you know, they might be changed. Maybe my schedule, I'd go to like 3 or 4 kind of larger cons, but right now I'm more enjoying kind of the friend cons where, you know, I go to go visit some friends in Detroit, and there's only about 6 or 7 of us for a long weekend, stuff like that. It seems to be a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong, I do love seeing everybody at large cons and meeting new people. It's kind of part of it. So, you know, what do I know? It's going to be hard to put away. Maybe I'll just do the one larger cons like Origin so I can meet everybody and play some big games. But more and more, this isn't something that I think that is kind of required of me these days, where I don't necessarily feel like I've got to get to the big cons anymore. I'd rather just get kind of a local con. Anyway, that's number 5. Number 4, where is the industry headed when it comes to environmental and being green? Now, I say this, you know, with no judgment whatsoever. I'm all about saving the environment, conservation. It's just a very hard thing. And a lot of publishers are talking about staying green or being green. And a lot of times you'll see that in Kickstarter projects when they'll say for every box sold, we'll plant a tree, and they'll donate to the companies or plant them themselves or donate to people that plant trees, which is a great thing. But a lot of companies are trying to talk about sustainable products in their publishing. And I know this is a really hard thing. So lately neoprene was huge that people were putting into it. But I'm not sure, because neoprene is made from petroleum and publishers want to be more environmentally sound. But again, what does that mean? Does that mean more wood? Whereas neoprene is made from petroleum. So that's oil-based. Now, more wood is great and all, but it also means more trees cut down and using a lot more wood and possibly an extra added price factor. So publishers also want to cut down as plastics as well, but where is that line? So I believe it was Cheap Ass Games. I think it might have been Victory Point Games at one point. They tried to put out games where you kind of use some of the other components from your other games and use your own components. You know, maybe some chits or some dice. That's great on paper and all, but who really wants to spend money on that? Like in a box where you got to supply your own stuff. A lot of people may not want to do that. So You know, if you buy a game, it tells you to use your own dice or chits to be environmentally friendly. You know, would you do that, or what is going to be kind of the next thing? Like, where do you think? And maybe somebody that's a little more environmentally conscious. I'm not environmentally conscious. Maybe more environmentally informed, and maybe to tell me what is better and what people can use. Because, you know, some of the things that were pretty cool is some of these boxes, I think Horrified came this way, whereas instead of shrink wrapping it in plastic, they were just kind of the little round stickers that were on kind of the outside. That's great too. And it's not hard to get off those off. You can use kind of like a hairdryer to get some of the sticker or the stickiness off of that side, and they come off pretty easy. So that's not bad at all. So stuff like that I'm all about too. I just wonder what is the ideal? What are we looking for? So that was my number four. Number three, another thing that I'm thinking about is what's the next big IP to take over the world of gaming? So I think I might have mentioned these next two kind of in passing on kind of what I've been looking forward to. You know, what is the next big IP is what I'm thinking now. Like, so we've got Star Wars, obviously Game of Thrones, Doctor Who, Star Trek, D&D, Cthulhu, Marvel, DC, Firefly. These are all kind of, I don't know if they're beating the dead horse kind of IPs, but they're all IPs that we've used time and time again. So what's the next IP that's out there that we're going to see that may make kind of a big splash? You know, and I'm thinking of like genres of like zombies or Old West or even undead and things like that. I'm not even thinking about that. Like, what's the next IP? So what do you think would be a really good IP to bring on, you know, the intellectual property that we're going to want to use, like whether it be a TV show or a movie that's going to be, or a big universe that's going to take over a lot of things. Of course, you know, don't get me wrong, I love all things Star Wars. I love all things Star Trek and Marvel, DC. I just keep churning out those games, I'm fine, but it would be good to have a good one, a good new one every now and then. So number two, also kind of in the same vein, what's the next big IP, but what's the next big mechanism? Now we're kind of due. I said this, I don't know if it was this year or last year, and my, what I'm looking forward to this year is we're kind of due for a new mechanism. There's been a lot of mechanisms over the last few years. Usually every 3 or 4 years is one big kind of mechanism. And I'll list a few, and I guess some of these may be kind of a larger genre classification, but I'm looking for what is the next big mechanism? You know, people using polyominoes or legacy games, multi-use cards and games, escape room games, deck building, and deck builder in larger games, not just cards, was big in the last few years. Rondels were making a comeback, dice as workers. Those are just some of the big examples of some of the big mechanisms of the last 5 or so years. But what's next? What is that mechanism that we can think? You know, people have been trying to think of cool things, but they just haven't stuck. Like using kind of a dexterity element is okay. You know, dropping dice and things like that was kind of things that people have kind of looked for. I even kind of had a prototype. It was about bouncing dice, kind of like tumbling dice, where bounce dice into a box and kind of using that whole thing. Like, but what is next? Like, what is it going to be? And my number one thing I'm pondering, and it's maybe not necessarily pondering, it's probably more of something like my number one thing that I'm kind of scared of is our legacy or campaign games. Are they going to slow down? Are we now? I don't want to use the bad term. I don't think the bubble's bursting. I'm wondering if they're going to slow down, because I already have a whole lot of games, and I'm probably going to forget some. I've already got the Jurassic Park legacy game, Oathsworn, which I backed recently, Iridia, which was probably won't come out till, I think it will come out soon this year. Oathsworn will be next year. Frosthaven should be on my doorsteps any day now. Legends of Sleepy Hollow I have. I've been waiting for all the changes and the errata to be fixed before I play that. So I've got all these crazy amount of like legacy and campaign games, and that's probably not even including some of the other ones. You know, I've got a ton of stuff for Dungeon Alliance I still haven't played that I want to get played. Oh, what a great game. Check out Dungeon Alliance if you want to see kind of campaign-y type game. They have a lot of different add-ons. Such a great game. But every day, it seems like, or every episode of Munchkin Minute, I'm mentioning another great game on Kickstarter that I just want to back because it just has that great feel, that great grandiose campaign with a lot of miniatures and a lot of story going on, and you're building up your character, and it has some, whether it be dungeon crawl or exploration and story. Like, but where's, are they going to slow down? Are we getting to a saturation point where people are going to realize we just don't have the time to play all this stuff? I mean, that's kind of a thing that we've already thought of with games. I mean, they put out thousands of games a year. Are they ever going to slow down? No. I mean, that's great for me. More games for me to play. But Thank God in within the next 15 to 20 years, I'll be retiring. So maybe I can get to some of these games that I got so I could, want to really enjoy it. I don't want to get rid of any of these games because all these games I mentioned, the Jurassic Park, Oathsworn, Iridia, the Frosthaven, Legend of Sleepy Hollow, I want to play every single one of them and I want to play them to completion. So obviously Frosthaven's going to go to the front of that when it does come in. That's the front of the line game. But I just want to be able to play all these games. And of course, with all these campaign games, you want to play them with the same person, unless you're playing them solo and you can't play everything solo. Where's the fun of that? Games should be played and enjoyed with everybody. But where are we going to slow down any of the games? Or maybe that number two, maybe that next big mechanism will come out that'll kind of bring my attention so I won't feel like it. And maybe that next big mechanism has the next big IP. So we're kind of bringing it all together. Those are all things that I've been kind of pondering. The top five things I've been pondering about board games lately. And of course, if you do have any top fives, please hit me up on Major Spoilers Discord or hit me up on Twitter as well to let me know what you think, and I'll add them to the list as well. So thanks for joining me today on this week's Top 5 Express Board Games Edition. If you've got any questions or you want to tell me what top five you think I should do, again, what has been on your mind of late in the game industry, because I'd love to hear what you've been pondering as well. Feel free to comment on this episode on MajorSpoilers.com or go to the site. The tons of other great podcasts and content by Steven and the rest of the Major Spoilers crew. I am, as always, Dan, the Board Game Man, and you can find me at GeekJockDan on Twitter or on the Geek All-Stars podcast. Also, the Munchkinland podcast here on Major Spoilers, where I give a twice a month 10 to 15 minute board game news show. And of course, as a contributor to TMS, where I do a board game segment with Scott and Brian. I'll be back soon with more board game top five goodness. But until then, grab a new board game and have some fun with family and friends.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.